Following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text number 8, given by His Holiness Raghunath Swami Maharaj, recorded on 17th September 1994 in Bombay, India.
Your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Sutta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naima Sharanya were confident that Srila Sutta Goswami was bona fide, therefore they were anxious to hear from him. In this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the means by which we have entrance into genuine spiritual life is revealed to us. That one must, in a mood of submissiveness and gentleness, inquire from and serve a proper spiritual master who is revealing the essential truths of the goal of life. And it is through the lives and the teachings of such great acharyas throughout our history that the real path of dharma is revealed. Krishna says in Gita, evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya vidhu, that this transcendental science is meant to be received in the line of disciplic succession, or parampara. Because through this process, the original teachings remain as it is, without adulteration. And by receiving from such a humble instrument, or the spiritual master in parampara, we do not simply receive one man's ideas, but we receive the mercy, the blessings, and the infinite realizations of all of the previous acharyas, and of course all of their realizations perfectly and purely originate from the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. Today we are celebrating the appearance day of one of the very great exemplary acharyas who have fought against all adversaries of truth in this world to give the path of real dharma to the world. His name is Thakur Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born on September 2nd of 1838 in a family of great aristocracy. His parentage was not only very famous, very wealthy, but most highly respected. And like many great devotees of the Lord, they reveal their particular opulence of devotion at the particular time of their life when the Lord sees fit. Just like we understand that Arjuna, he was the dear friend of Krishna. There was no question of such a Paramhamsa, intimate associate of Krishna, falling under illusion. But yet, by Krishna's own will, Arjuna did fall into an illusion on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so that he could inquire from Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. But factually, as soon as Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Krishna lifted his yogamaya potency, and immediately Arjuna, he didn't have to practice the Gita his whole life through, like most of us have to do to awaken pure devotion. Just upon hearing it once, immediately that intimate friendship and unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving mood of his heart was awakened, and he went into the battlefield and he fought as the eternal servitor of the Lord. Similarly, when Lord Buddha, who is an incarnation of Vishnu, according to the Bhagavad philosophy, when he appeared in this world, he appeared by his own sweet will to be a prince. And when he saw, after years of his life, when he was born, an astrologer told his father that he's going to renounce everything of this world and become a great spiritual teacher, a celibate, ascetic. And there's nothing that most parents want to hear less than such news. We have experience of our own brahmacharis sometimes. Even though parents may be very religious and very pious, they cannot tolerate the thought of their children being brahmacharis or sannyasis, not having wife, not having children, not having grandchildren, not having great-grandchildren, not supporting, maintaining, nourishing the parents after retirement. This thought is like death, even to very religious and pious parents. Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle were very great devotees of the Lord, but they utilized every bit of their power to keep Raghunath home. But ultimately, he went to the feet of Lord Chaitanya and became the greatest of all renunciates. And his parents, although they were no doubt liberated by his activity, they simply cried with broken hearts. So Buddha, his parents were also like this. So they arranged everything very nice so he would see no difficulties. But when he saw, as he became a young man, he saw death, old age, disease, and all these pains, he thought, what is the use of all of this material enjoyment when ultimately this is the culmination? Old age, disease, and death. I'd consider this all a waste of time. What is the use of this palace? What is the use of my becoming the king and all this wealth and all this beauty and opulence and respect and glorification, when ultimately old age, disease, and death is what everyone has to face? Unless I solve these problems, there's no happiness in this world. So he began to perform severe austerities. He began to fast, emaciate himself, and so many others, seeking the truth. He was so thirsty for the truth. And ultimately he went to the holy land of Gaya, and there he sat under the famous Bodhi tree, and he made a vow, I will not get up until I realize that consciousness beyond birth and death, beyond all suffering and pain. And there he attained enlightenment. But actually, did Buddha attain enlightenment? He was Vishnu avatar, Shaktivesh. He just, in his lila, he was to reveal at a certain time as an instruction to humanity and to also to attract our minds with the excitement of his wonderful lifestyle. And then from that point on, that enlightened soul began to teach. Similarly, the Yuga avatar of this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he's prophesied in the Mahabharata, in some of the Upanishads, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as the avatar of the Supreme Truth in this age, who comes to deliver the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. When he was a little tiny baby, he would cry, and he was so beautiful because he was all the beauty of Krishna, but in a golden complexion. And all of the residents of Navadvip, their life and soul was simply to look at Nimai and to make him happy. When he would smile upon them, great spiritual ecstasy would awaken in their hearts. And when he would cry, it was the worst misfortune in their lives to see him dissatisfied. That is the nature of love. So he would cry, and they would make so many arrangements like any mother makes arrangements, bringing him toys, singing songs, giving milk, giving everything they can to try to pacify him, but he would just throw everything and cry. And ultimately, the ladies, they just cried out, Hare Krishna. And when they said Hare Krishna, he began to smile. So they realized the secret, that by chanting Krishna's names, we will make him very happy. And he will smile, and he will glance upon us with such pleasure that there's no pleasure greater in our life. So they would simply wait for Nimai to cry, and then they would all run around him and start to chant the holy name.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare.
And their goal of life was simply that Nimai would be pleased with their chanting and smile upon them. So from his infancy, he was inducing people to chant the holy names. But then he appeared like a very mischievous young child, as Krishna did in Goloka, Gokula. And later on, he became the greatest of all scholars and pundits. He defeated the greatest intelligent debater in all of India, Digvijay Keshav Kashmiri. He became the foremost of all learned scholars of the scriptures, but he showed hardly ever an inclination for devotion until later in his teenage years, when in Gaya, the same place that Buddha attained enlightenment, while he was in Gaya, at the temple of the footprints of Lord Vishnu, he met his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And there, in the presence of his Gurudev, he exhibited instantly the most profound symptoms of ecstasy that this world has ever seen. It's not that he was trained and purified. It was just by his own will he awakened that revelation to the world at that time because he wanted to show the world that until we make that connection with the saint, with the pure devotee, that love of God does not take place in our hearts. And he wanted to show the world how any amount of scholarship and erudition is of no importance, save and unless we have bhakti, we have devotion to the feet of Lord Hari. And from that time on, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited love that has never and will never be seen again of such a stature, and he distributed that same type of love to everyone by inducing the world to chant the holy name. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is understood by the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav line to be a Nitya Siddha. Gora Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namane. That is the very embodiment of a life full of eternity knowledge and spiritual bliss. Gora Shakti Swarupaya. That he is not an ordinary human being, but he is endowed with all the power of love and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Rupa Nuga Varayate. And he came to establish the pure principles of Lord Chaitanya as were enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. But by the arrangement of the Lord, Bhaktivinoda appeared in his youth to always be striving and searching for higher truths. He was educated in British schools, and he became a great scholar. And in his search for the higher truths of life, spiritual realization, he deeply studied the Christian scripture and developed great love for Lord Jesus. And then he studied very deeply the Quran, and had wonderful realizations of that particular approach to the Supreme Godhead. And he was reading so many of the great philosophers, both Eastern and Western. He was studying the Vedantic teachings of Shankar and other great scholars, acharyas of India and abroad. And he had a very, very broad spectrum of knowledge. But his thirst for truth continued to lead him on into deeper and higher studies. When he was young, there were many calamities in his family. Although he was born very wealthy, at a certain point in his village, hundreds of people died of an epidemic of cholera. His own family members, they lost practically all of their wealth. But he just continued striving, although always very responsible, as was the custom in those days. When he was 12 years old, he was married to a girl who was 5 years old. And this was the custom, the tradition. The idea was that a young girl, from her earliest times, should always feel that she's secure and she'll always be protected the rest of her life. She should never have a question, where will I be, who will I be with, and what will happen to me. So this was the parents' idea. Even within this very century, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he explained when his sister was 12 years old and she still wasn't married, his mother considered that her life as a mother was a failure and she was about to commit suicide because already she's 12 and she's not married. Of course, due to British and Western influences, now we think they should complete college and get their master's degrees and PhDs, and then we'll find them husband and all of this. And it is another approach, no doubt. But the traditions of India are actually the highest understanding of civilization. Whether they can be applied in this day and age is for us to endeavor to see, but this was the custom at the time. And he had family responsibilities, and he always was working very, very hard to maintain and to provide for his family, but his search for truth was always foremost in his life. He would associate with saintly people, and he was at one time working for the British government in a very high and responsible position, and he was transferred to a certain place, Dijnapur, and there were many Vaishnavas. And from one Vaishnava he heard the pastimes and the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now at that time, as we were explaining this morning, the British spread so much demoniac propaganda that the Hindu religion was false, that it was all superstition, mythology, there was no credibility to it all, it was totally unscholarly. And they went to the extent, the British and the German Indologists, to become Sanskrit scholars. Christian missionaries came to India with only one purpose in mind, to convert the Hindus to Christians. And they became the Sanskrit scholars, and they're the ones that started interpreting and translating all the Vedic scriptures into English and other local languages with only one thing in mind, to make the scriptures look foolish. And especially Vaishnavism and the Srimad Bhagavatam, they just utterly condemned it. That look at these Hindus, they are worshipping male and female sex organs as God, and they're worshipping immoral cheaters, liars, and sex mongers as God. It is a barbaric religion. And this was what was taught in all the schools, in all the universities, even in India. And the intelligent class of Indians believed it. And at the same time, there was so much corruption. Brahmins were simply being Brahmins as a profession to make money. And even within Vaishnavism, there was so much caste consciousness, which is just total concoction, that one is, by one's birth, either fit or not fit for spiritual life. So much exploitation, sahajiism, where degraded activities were taking place in the name of devotion, imitating Krishna's highest, most pristine and pure activities of Ras Lila amongst mundane people, teaching that if we perform this Ras Lila, we will become Krishna. Anyway, so much degradation. And Bhaktivinod, he was seeing all this, but he came in contact with some real Vaishnavas and he heard about Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And he was very anxious to obtain the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in those days of the British, it hadn't been printed in so many years. It took him about 8 years to obtain a copy. And he studied it thoroughly. And he was a little attracted, his first reading through. He thought, this is very profound. This Sri Chaitanya, such a prophet he was.
But why? Why all of his ecstasies and why all of his devotions are for Krishna? Because after all, from what I've been taught and from what I've heard and from what I have seen, Krishna, he was quite controversial. So why this great philosopher, Sri Chaitanya, who is the greatest philosopher in all of India, and he defeated all opposition, why he became a devotee of Krishna? And his whole life was just to propagate bhakti to Krishna. So he read Chaitanya Charitamrita again thoroughly. And upon seeing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was utterly defeating in logic and argument on scriptural basis the Vedantists of Benares, establishing Krishna as the supreme Godhead, the cause of all causes, and explaining the completely pure transcendental nature of his pastimes, he pondered and meditated and prayed deeply on the teachings and mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And instantly, within his heart, was revealed the highest realms of spontaneous ecstatic love of God. That was the time in his life when Lord Krishna wanted to reveal his original identity and his original mission in this world. But because he had such a background of other religions, one of his first preaching missions was at a time when there was great controversy, there was great bigotry, there was great spiritual unrest and prejudice among so many of the different Hindu, Muslim, and Christian sects. And because he was such a scholar, and he was so deeply learned, and he was so attractive, and he was so powerful and pure in everything he did, everyone wanted him to be on their side. The Vedantists, the Vaishnavas, the Christians, the Muslims, the atheists, they all wanted him on their side because he was the best. So he gave a lecture. And this lecture was later put into a book that he published called The Bhagavat, Its Precepts and Teachings. And he explained from the point of view of the Srimad Bhagavatam how every idea of religion is included within the Bhagavatam, how it is the synthesis of all spiritual thought, and it reveals the highest realizations of Godhead, which culminates in unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Krishna, the cause of all causes, who is Rasaraj, Rasa Bihari, who is the source of all spiritual pleasure. And by doing this, he literally attracted everyone's minds to the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the understanding of Bhagavatam according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he began to write prolifically in various languages, in such a way, with such scholarship, in such realization, in such love, to establish the highest truths and bring back real dignity to the true doctrine of Hinduism and ultimately to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the essence of the Gita and the Bhagavat. And he was undefeatable. And he had such respect in all classes of men that he changed everyone's heart that he came in contact with. But there was so much opposition. There were threats to his life. There was threats to his family's lives. But he stood strong. There is a story that he writes about in his own
biography of how when he was the deputy magistrate of Jagannath Puri, at that time there was a village, and there was a Rakshasa, ghost, living in the tree of that village. And the people of that village would worship that ghost. And there was a band of dacoits, very dangerous people, who were receiving their power from that ghost. And they were receiving also instructions to create havoc amongst innocent people. So Bhaktivinod, whose life was to uphold the highest truths and principles and to protect the innocent from exploitation, one day the father of a respected lady came to beg alms from Bhaktivinod's house. By that time he was a grihasta and he had several children. And he asked this Brahmin that, "I want you in great devotion to sit under this particular tree where the ghost is living, and I want you to read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam." Because he wanted to establish in people's hearts complete faith in the greatness of the philosophy of the Bhagavat. So he read, and after 30 days, 1 month, he completed the last sloka of the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. And that last sloka is that in this age of Kali Yuga, simply by bowing down to Krishna and chanting his holy names, we will attain the perfection of life. And just by the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam, right when that sloka ended, the tree crashed to the ground and the ghost was finished. And the dacoits just ran away and the innocent people were again protected. Also, when he was living in Puri, he heard rumors that in a jungle just close to Bhuvaneshwar, there was a so-called avatar of Vishnu. His name was Bhishikishan. And this Bhishikishan, he had great powers. He claimed himself to be Mahavishnu. You see, it is explained that after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet, one of his intimate associates was Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was given the order by Lord Chaitanya to induce everyone, without discrimination, to perfect their lives by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there was one follower of the name Jagannath Das. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that he should follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur and he should assist him in his great work. But Jagannath Das was envious. He didn't want to surrender to Haridas Thakur. And he, because he displeased the Lord and he offended the Lord's devotee, he lost all of his intelligence and he basically became atheistic in nature. And he wrote many books, but he was a powerful person and he started a whole religious sampradaya himself, in which he was saying that Lord Chaitanya will come again
and he will come to drive the British out of India. Of course, he didn't say British then because it was Islamic invaders, but he said he will drive the conquerors out of India. So this Bhishikishan, he was claiming that I am that avatar. I am Mahavishnu. I am the one laying in the causal ocean. I am the Lord of Lakshmi. I am the supreme cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists. And I have come to start a revolution. And I myself, by my very powers, I will destroy all these foreign conquerors in the name of the British. But in order for me to do this, all noble Hindus must come and worship me as God. And he had great powers. It is explained that Bhaktivinoda heard this, and he realized that this man is a pretender, and he is cheating people, and he must be stopped. And he was given the assignment to do investigation and do the needful to curb the criminal activities of this false god. So Bhaktivinoda, he was doing research, and he found that this Bhishikeshan, he actually had great powers. Upon seeing anyone, he could read their mind and know exactly every thought in their head. People with terribly painful, incurable diseases, he can cure them instantly and bring them to perfect health. He also had great powers to torture or even to kill people who opposed him on a mystical level. And therefore, innocent people considered he must be God. Look at what he can do. And he had thousands and thousands of disciples. So one day Bhaktivinoda went to that jungle place with the idea of arresting him if he found any discrepancy in his character. And he came with many police constables. This Bhishikeshan also appointed two of his intimate followers to become Brahma and Shiva. And they were worshipped as such, because he also endowed them with great powers. So there, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar were sitting under a tree. And along with them, there were thousands of disciples who were worshipping him as God. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur arrived. And as soon as he arrived, Bhishikeshan looked at him and said, "Your name is Kedaranath Dutt, Bhaktivinoda." And he began to explain everything about Bhaktivinoda's life. And everything was accurate. He explained his past, his parents, his children's names, everything. He knew it all. And then he said, "And I know why you have come here. And your mission is godless. You have come to disturb me with the plan of even arresting me. But let me tell you, I am Mahavishnu. I am the supreme absolute truth. I am the cause of all causes, and my power is undefeatable. And you will be destroyed, and your whole family, and everyone will be destroyed." He said, "If you dare to try to even touch me, by my anger, I can burn all the three worlds in the universe within an instant." And then people who were very sick with terrible diseases approached him. And right in front of Bhaktivinoda, there was a man who was stabbed with a sword and he was bleeding profusely. And Bhishikeshan just created some ashes in his hand and smeared those ashes And immediately, this deep mortal wound was healed. And there was no pain. And the man just worshipped his feet and walked away. There were blind people he was giving sight to in an instant. Lame people he could give the power to walk. People with terrible diseases for years. He was very powerful. And they were all worshiping him as God. So Bhaktivinoda realized, and he said to Bhishikeshan, he said, these are not the activities of God. These are activities of a bogus pretender. God is the supreme Yogeshwar. You are just an insignificant atomic-sized jivatma, a little part of God. And because of your austerities, you have attained a little bit of powers. But all your powers are totally material. There is nothing spiritual about you or anything you do. It is all just mysticism. He said, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Shishupal, they also had all these powers. But they were killed by God because they would not surrender and humble themselves because they were arrogant like you. And Vishikeshan said, because you are a devotee, I'm not killing you now. But know my powers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to the neighboring villages and began doing research. And he found that most people were actually worshipping him. But he also found that there were some husbands who were very upset with him because he was claiming that he was the supreme power over all prakriti in the form of women. He was the Purusha, and all women who were his prakriti, who wanted to enjoy ras with him and attain the supreme blessings of the Purusha, should come and enjoy ras lila. So these different ladies were coming, and he was performing ras lila, and he was having very, very gross types of exchanges with them, very immoral activities. And when the husbands found out, they started questioning whether he's actually God, violating the chastity of their wives. And they were very disturbed. And when Bhaktivinoda heard this, everything was becoming more clear. It made more sense. Because he had performed some austerities, he had some powers, he was exploiting for his own purposes. And then, he also heard that he was saying that not only will he personally, single-handedly destroy the whole British Empire, but by his powers, he will destroy the King of England. And that's what people like to hear in those days. So Bhaktivinoda, being a magistrate under the British Empire, he found, this is a good case. He's a conspirator against the government. So he came with his soldiers, and he said, Vishikeshan, he said, you have come to arrest me, I know it, but you will not. Because if you touch me, you are dead. Everything. I can destroy the whole universe. And the soldiers approached him, and when they approached him, he became very angry, and he began to shake his head violently, and flames started flying from his matted hair like serpents in all directions. And then he looked at them, and his eyes turned bright red, and flames started shooting from his eyes. And the soldiers became very afraid. They ran away. But Bhaktivinoda, he just looked at him and said, why are you misusing these cheap powers? What type of pretender? You will not fool me. You deserve to be punished, and you will be punished. And then he got an ox cart, And he said, either you get on the back of this ox cart, or my soldiers will force you to get on the back of this ox cart. But you are coming to Puri for trial. So Bhishikeshan got on the ox cart. And he said, because you are a devotee, Bhaktivinoda, in Bhagavad Gita I have promised that my devotee's word will never go in vain. In Bhagavad Gita, I broke my own promise to protect my devotee's promise. So just to protect your word, out of compassion and mercy, I will get on this cart. So they got on the cart. And Bhaktivinoda was writing out his charges, and meanwhile he was doing all these mystic powers, and Bhaktivinoda trying to stop him, but Bhaktivinoda just continued. So they went to Puri. And outside of the courthouse, thousands of his followers and disciples were like on strike. They were revolting that you are putting the Supreme Godhead, Mahavishnu, on trial. This is very bad. We will not stand for this. So there was tremendous pressure against Bhaktivinoda. And as the days of the court went on, Rishikeshan told Bhaktivinoda that that night, Bhaktivinoda went home, and his own 7-year-old daughter was dying of a terrible, painful disease. And his whole house became sick. And that night, the school for all the children in Puri, burned down to ashes. And Bhaktivinoda's own wife, Bhagavati Devi, she was saying, just let him go, even if he is a bogus imitation rascal. Let him go. Look at what type of problems he's causing. And all of the well-wishers and friends of Bhaktivinoda were asking him, please just let this man go. It's not worth it. But Bhaktivinoda said, no. Let myself, my whole family, let everything die. But this man cannot cheat people any longer. And he said, and beside this, because we are devotees of Krishna and we are protecting the truth, Krishna will protect us. He had this conviction. Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyate. Krishna says in Gita that my devotee will always be protected by me if he does my will. And we read this. But if we're really devotees, Krishna will test how much we have faith in his words. And Bhaktivinoda showed the extent of his conviction. The last day of the trial came, when Bhaktivinoda was the next morning supposed to give his judgment that he was guilty. And that night, severe pains came on the right side of his chest. Such severe pains, he wasn't even able to walk. And they were increasing more and more and more and more. Deathly pains. And to get to the courthouse, he couldn't even walk. He had to be carried to his palanquin and brought into the courtroom. And there he announced that you are guilty and you have to spend, I believe it was 18 months in prison working hard labor.
And Rishikeshan was so angry, he was so furious. He was making all sorts of threats. But then someone who studied the methods of yogis in their mystic cities, he learned that many yogis, they store great mystic powers within their matted hairs. So he jumped on Vishikeshan from behind when he was not expecting it, and with a big scissors, he cut his hair. Now, something I have to tell you about this Vishikeshan, the whole time he was in jail, he did not eat a morsel of food, he did not drink a drop of water, and he did not sleep for even 1 second. And he was in that prison for several weeks. No drinking, no eating, no sleeping. For over 3 weeks he was in that jail, and he didn't show the slightest sign of exhaustion. He had as much power, vigor, and stamina as ever before. Such a yogi. And people knew. It was documented. Didn't eat, didn't sleep, didn't drink anything for weeks. And look at him. He's walking, he's arguing, he's powerful. And as he was being walked out in front of all of his followers, protesting, this person cut his hair. And as soon as his hair was cut, he just fell to the ground. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He was completely just devastated, because he lost all of his supernatural potencies. And they had to carry him out to prison in a stretcher. And when his followers saw this, they realized that he was a fake. And almost all of them rejected him on the spot, calling him ill names. And upon his falling down, Bhaktivinod's family became healthy. Bhaktivinod came again in full strength. The threats to his life were gone. And after a couple months, Vishikeshan drank poison and committed suicide. Sri Bhaktivinod Thakur ki! This is one example out of tens and thousands of wonderful stories of how Bhakti Vinod's pure faith and love for Krishna was willing to uphold the highest principles of religion for all of society. After him, another pretender named Brahma and another pretender named Balaram, who was also claiming to be Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti Vinod had all of them arrested. He couldn't tolerate this cheating business in the name of religion. Bhaktivinod, besides that, he would go to the villages every night. He had 10 children. He was a magistrate. He had wife. And he was so completely responsible in all of his affairs. The British government praised him more than anyone else in the whole country for his efficient and reliable services. When he wanted to retire, they just would not allow it. And whoever he was working with, they just loved him so dearly. But after working, in fact, later on, he was, by his own request, he was transferred near Navadweep, because he wanted to be near the birth site of Lord Chaitanya. And every day he had to be in the courtroom in Krishna Nagar. But he made his house in Navadweep, which is some distance. So just to facilitate him, because he was so valuable, and to make him happy, the British actually built a railway track from his house to the courtroom, so that he could come nicely every day. He was a man who showed that being a great saint and a pure devotee of the Lord does not mean that you are irresponsible, unreliable, dysfunctional sadhu. People think that sadhus are like that. But he was the greatest of sadhus. Even the greatest babajis and sannyasis used to come to his house to hear Krishna Katha from him, to learn about the higher subject matters of deep devotion. The crest jewel of knowledge. And he was always so respectful to those who were real sadhus, real babajis, real swamis, who were truly practicing and teaching others. He would touch their feet and he would serve them with such humility. But those who were false, he would expose them. He was always such a humble servant of the great devotees of the Lord. And yet he performed his profession so well. But not only did he do his work for the government meticulously, but when he would come home after taking prasad with his family, he would go out each night and he would go to various villages, towns, and cities, and he would preach to the general people how they could become perfect in self-realization by understanding the true teachings of the Bhagavat and chanting the holy names of God. And when everyone was sleeping, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after taking a little bit of rest, he would be up through the nights writing wonderful spiritual literatures, translating the great works of the six Goswamis, translating the great works of other great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav line, also writing beautiful songs. Today we sang two of his songs, before beginning this discussion. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's hundreds and hundreds of beautiful prayers and bhajans, the essence of all spiritual knowledge is given in such a wonderful way that even the most common people, just by singing these songs, can be the greatest scholars of Vedic knowledge and also understand how to live their life in pure devotion. These beautiful bhajans are endowed with so much love, so much prema for the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and his devotees, that any one line of them, if we just can properly understand, we will experience and realize the perfection of religion. Pure bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur demonstrated the perfect life of a devotee living in this world. And there were so many great credits within his life that go down in history. He reestablished the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He was the first to take these teachings and implant them like a seed in the Western world. He was the first to have a vision of preaching the message of pure Bhagavad Dharma to every continent in the world. He discovered the original authorized birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He accepted as his Diksha Guru, Vipin Bihari Maharaj. And later on he accepted as his Shiksha Guru, Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He showed, although how he was so influential, so powerful, so learned, and so advanced in spiritual life, still he was always so humble and ready to offer the most menial loving services in such a submissive manner to these great saints. In the life and teachings of Bhaktivinod, we can learn everything there is to know about being a perfect devotee of God in this world. And Bhaktivinod Thakur, in his wonderful songs, he continuously reminds us, Gai Gaura Madhu Sware, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Grihe Tako Vane Tako. Sada Hari Bole Thako.
Grihe
Thako Vane Thako. Sada Hari Bole Thako. Sukhe dukhe bolo na ko varne hari naam bolo re.
Sukhe dukhe bolo na ko varne hari naam bolo re.
Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare.
Hari Rama Hari Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Maya Jale Bada Hoye. Achami Che Khaj Loye. Maya jale bada hoye, achomi che khaj loye.
Maya jale bada hoye, achomi che khaj loye.
Ekono chetanna peye, Radha Madhav nam bolore. Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Jivana Hoilo Sesh Nabajilo Rishikesh. Jivana Hoilo Sesh Nabajilo Rishikesh. Bhakti Vinod Upadeshek Panam Rase Matare.
Bhakti Vinod Upadeshek Panam Rase Matare.
Bhakti vinodopadeshek panam rase matare.
Jai Gaura Madhusware. Jai Gaura Madhusware.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Gaura Madhusware. Jai Gaura Madhusware.
Sing the nectarine names of Gauranga. O my Lord, please engage me in your loving service and chant the holy Maha Mantra.
Whether you are a householder or a sannyasi, constantly chant Hari Hari. Forget about happiness and sorrow and fill your lips with Hari Nam. You are bound up in the ocean of Maya and are forced to toil fruitlessly. But as soon as you come to your senses, immediately shout out the names. Without serving the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh, you are as good as a dead man. Take the advice of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Just once, relish the nectar of the holy name. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki. Teach everyone how to dance and chant. Powerful than the original.
क्योंकि आप बहुत नम्र हैं, इसीलिए आपके गुरु महाराज ने आपके ऊपर कृपा की है, इसीलिए आपको सब सत्य मालूम है, और इसीलिए आप मुझे बताइए कि वो क्या सत्य हैं। तो यह जो है सत्य को जानने का तरीका है कि हम गुरु की सेवा करें और उनसे जिज्ञासा करें। कृष्ण भगवान ने कहते हैं कि यह ज्ञान परंपरा के द्वारा ही प्राप्त होता है। तो भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर, जिनका आज आविर्भाव दिवस मनाया जा रहा है, वो इसी परंपरा में आए थे। तो कई बार जो है भगवान श्री कृष्ण के भक्त भी ऐसा लगता है कि वो माया में हैं, लेकिन वो माया में होते नहीं हैं। जैसे अर्जुन का उदाहरण दिया जाता है, और इस तरह से चैतन्य महाप्रभु भी पहले तो भगवत प्रेम के लक्षण नहीं दिखा रहे थे, लेकिन बाद में दिखाने लगे। तो भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर एक नित्य सिद्ध हैं, लेकिन ऐसे लग रहा था कि वो सत्य की खोज में है। पहले उन्होंने कुरान और बाइबिल का अध्ययन किया, और उसके बाद चैतन्य चरितामृत पढ़ने पर उनको बहुत श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु की शिक्षाओं से प्रेम हुआ, और वो उसका प्रचार करने लगे, और वो समझाने लगे कि किस तरह से श्रीमद् भागवत जो है ये सब जो है ग्रंथों का जो है सबसे ऊंचा ग्रंथ है। और एक बार एक ब्रह्म राक्षस जो पेड़ के पास था, और उन्होंने श्रीमद् भागवत का पाठ कराया, और उससे वो राक्षस भी जो है छोड़कर चला गया। और बाद में जब वो जगन्नाथपुरी में थे, तो ऐसा एक व्यक्ति था ऋषि किशन, जिसका अपने आप को विष्णु का अवतार मानता था, और उसके अंदर बहुत सारी योगिक शक्ति थी जिससे कि लोग उसको महाविष्णु मानते थे। लेकिन भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर ने उनको जो है गिरफ्तार करवा दिया और अंततः उनके जब बाल काटे गए तो उनकी सारी योगिक सिद्धि जो है वो नष्ट हो गई। तो इस तरह से भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर को पूरा विश्वास था भगवान के नाम पर और भगवान श्री कृष्ण के प्रेम था। हालांकि वो एक बहुत गृहस्थ थे, उनके 10 बच्चे थे और बहुत बड़े जो है वो न्यायाधीश थे, परंतु वो अपना काम जो है बड़े अच्छी तरह से करते थे। और एक भक्त का जीवन पूर्ण कैसा होना चाहिए वो उन्होंने अपने उदाहरण से सिखाया और अंत में वो यही सिखाते हैं कि हमें हमेशा भगवान का नाम लेना चाहिए। हरे कृष्ण।
Exactly 3 minutes. These are also mystic powers, you know. But because they're using them in God's service, he has mystic powers without hairs.